what a joy it is to be here with you tonight. So excited about what the Lord is doing in this great denomination with your wonderful leaders. And Kurt and I just feel like it's an honor. Really, we know it's an honor to be with you again. What a joy. And to come at a time when, thank the Lord, we're just going to go ahead and declare it with you, Pastor Randy, that all of that old plague is behind us in Jesus' name. Amen. We just call it. Some people say, well, I don't think it is. I'm just calling things that may not be as though they are. Amen. But what a joy it is to get to be here with you today. And just trust in the Lord for his guidance in this message that I feel like he's put on my heart for you. So pray for me tonight. I'm excited about what the Lord's given me to share. But I guess there's never a time I don't get a little bit uncomfortable, a little nervous about it. But just trust in the Lord just to give me a fresh anointing tonight. We're going to pray for that in just a few moments. Before we do, I want to say, I want to call him bishop, doctor. I don't know every title, but they told me to call him pastor. They said Randy, but I can't do that. So we'll just say Pastor Randy. Thank you, Miss Gwen. Thank you all and your team letting us come. It really is an honor to us. It means the world. I'll just give you a little bit of quick information. I'll tell you, it's kind of funny. I did not meet Kurt in a church, believe it or not. I met him in Beijing, China. And who would have ever dreamed? And so when I told everybody that we met in China, they thought he might be Chinese. But we were both on a mission trip. But I said, my goodness, I wouldn't have cared a lick. I was already so old by the time I got married. I was just thankful God sent me somebody. And so I'm just so, we really did meet on a trip into Beijing, China. I tell everybody all the time, I said, if you're single and you've been single a long time and you're tired of being single, try missions. It worked. It worked for me. But the truth is, we were friends for a lot of years after we met there in China, and only friends. And we stayed that way for about 6 years. And then about the seventh year, something happened. I just got tired of running. I said, I'm so tired of him chasing me. No, that's not the truth. I have to be careful. He's going to have the microphone after me. And so I have to be careful. I want to just go ahead and debunk anything he's going to say about me asking him to marry. It's not true. That is a lie. He'll try to pull that one over on you. But I am so very thankful. And we had no idea that the Lord would be calling us to pastor. When I saw you the last time, it was not on my heart. It was not on my mind. I won't tell you the whole story. It'd take too long. But at a very unlikely place, I was at a church, but an unlikely event. I was actually in a funeral of a dear pastor friend of ours, Pastor Wayne Hicks. And I was at his funeral when the Lord began to speak to my heart about a church that I was trying to help the people find a pastor. I was looking everywhere for him. And the Lord began to put it on my heart. And I went home. I told Kurt, I said, you're not going to believe it. It was very distinct. It was very precise, exact. I didn't have any idea, actually. I mean, I didn't have any doubt. Actually, I said, I believe the Lord is talking to us about this church. He said, you're kidding. And I said, no, I'm serious. And it's actually the church that I grew up in. A lot of years had passed. I attended there as a child. My grandfather pastored the church for 20-something years, and I just never dreamed I'd ever be back there, ever. But the Lord has a way, doesn't he? Amen. And so I'm so thankful for the opportunity to continue to travel. And I'm just so grateful for that. I guess there'll always be that in my heart. I would say I'm a revivalist. And some people may say an evangelist. I'll take that. And I agree. But I'll tell you, I just believe that probably one of the main things that the Lord seems to do in my heart is to really stir the fire, stir that fire up. Amen. And I'm thankful for those opportunities. I just praise the Lord for it. I want to tell you two other things real quick as I get ready to start. I want to tell you that Pastor Nick and Chanel are dear friends of mine. I've known them really since they were young teenagers and maybe even a little bit before. And I'll tell you, I could not be any more thrilled to be in services with two people than I am this couple. I was so afraid Nick was going to miss it and not follow the Lord to pastoring. And I thought, Chanel's going to have to marry somebody else. I know she's supposed to be in ministry. And so I just about prayed him out of her life there at the end. But he saw the light. I'm so thankful. And now they both have far surpassed anything I've ever dreamed of in ministry. And so it's just wonderful to be with them. They're just, they're like family. Honestly, they are. They're like family to me. I consider them family. And they did name their fourth child after me. Glory to God. Amen. So I'm as honored. I just can't tell you how honored I am about that. I'm just so thrilled over it. I just pray she'll grow up to be a wonderful girl. And they never regret naming her Beth. Georgia Beth is her name. Four wonderful children. And it's just a joy to be in service with them. One more thing, Pastor Randy, if I've got a minute to do this. I want to, this will just take me a second. I want to give it to you real fast. I would say about 12 years ago, the Lord put something on my heart. Pastor Randy's asked me about it, and we've talked about it, and he said I could have a minute to share, but I only want to take a minute. But it is so near and dear to my heart that if I wasn't careful, I could spend the rest of the time talking about it. But the Lord birthed something in my heart called The Calling, and it is a ministry that the Lord has given to us for young ministers, 20s up to early 30s is the age range. And every year for the last 3 years, we're going on our fourth year. In February, we'll have our fourth time together. It's a weekend together. And then every month after that, we meet by Zoom. But we have 20 young men and women with a confirmed call into ministry that come together in North Georgia. And I'm telling you, it's such a passion of mine. It is for young people that they say, I know I have a call. I know God, maybe they already know what that calling is, but they don't know exactly where to go, what to do. And it's a lot of things that the Lord put on my heart to speak to them that I learned over time through a lot of trial and error. But I just believe the Lord wants me to share that and to pass this on like an Elijah and Elisha, and to pass this on to the next generation. And I'm believing that the next generation, they're going to do so much more than I ever dreamed of. Amen. And if I can just help set a foundation, if I can help really help catapult them in any way, that's what the Lord's put on my heart. One of the statistics that I found out was in 1992, it's really shocking, the number of pastors 40 years of age and under was 50%. In 1992, I want to say that again, the number of pastors, the age of 40 and under was 50%. Now, the age of pastors that are 40 and under, the percentage of pastors that are 40 and under is 14%. We are in a decline with our pastors, with our leadership, with evangelists, with teachers, with missionaries. But I'm telling you today, God is raising up a generation. Amen. He is. And I want to be right in the middle of this. I do. I want to be right in the middle of it. And I've had young people, they'll say, Beth, my goodness, if I could just do what you've done. I said, oh no, you're not going to do what I've done. You're going to do twice, three times, four times as great as anything I've ever imagined. I said, God's going to do more. And this, it's the Elisha generation that we're seeing God do. It's amazing. And so I just encourage you, talk to Pastor Randy. He can tell you more about it. I can tell you more about it if I have the opportunity. You could go to the website, bethstevens.org. You can scroll down. You'll see a heading called The Calling. And we are just thankful for that opportunity that the Lord has given us. And so let's go, if you would, open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is where I'd like for us to read from tonight. And I just believe the Lord has given me a message a little bit different for me. I hope you'll give me a little leadway tonight, but a little different maybe than the way I would normally preach. But I just really feel this in my spirit. Today I want to preach on the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost. And there are some things I want to share about it. I lay in a little foundation, but it's so important about Pentecost. I want to share that with you today. And so let's read. I'll just read the well-known scriptures to all of us. We'll just read verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. I could go further, but let's just read verses 1 through 4 of Acts chapter 2. Amen. The word says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I'm going to ask you to pray. Let's pray for one another. I'm going to ask you to pray for me tonight. And I'm believing the Lord just to speak to our hearts supernaturally. Would you pray and believe with me? Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I glorify you for who you are in our lives. Lord, I thank you for what you've already done in this great camp meeting, in these men and women's lives, in these children's lives, Lord, that are here. But Lord, here we are. It's a brand new night. I believe you've got a word for us. And Lord, I just thank you that you're allowing me to be a mouthpiece for you. I thank you, Lord. Let me be a trumpet for you, I pray. Lord, anoint me fresh. Anoint me fresh, Lord, to deliver this word. Give me the words you would have me say. I don't want to say anything more than what you'd want me to say, and certainly nothing less. And Lord, I just pray for every man and woman, every pastor that's here, every pastor's spouse that's here right now, that you would just speak to them directly through this word. Lord, that you would encourage them and lift them up. And Lord, that we would leave out of here, Lord, encouraged, refreshed, renewed. And we give you all the glory and honor and praise for everything that's accomplished. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody shout it out, amen. 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 Now turn to your neighbor, a friend. Would you take a minute to do that and say, the day of Pentecost is for you. Amen. It is. It's for you. That did give me time to get something to drink too, but it is for you. Amen. The day of Pentecost. I want to talk about the day of Pentecost a little bit. I grew up in a Pentecostal church. That's all I've known really my whole life. But for years, I really had very little understanding about Pentecost. I understood a little bit of it, snatches of it, bits and pieces. I understood some of the exciting parts. Well, it's all exciting. But I didn't really understand some of the basics about Pentecost. And as I began to study a little bit more about it, it was very encouraging and very rewarding, really, to understand more and to realize why it is that we are Pentecostal. I want to say this today, though, because I think it's very important. Anytime I preach about Pentecost or anything, anytime I preach about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, I want to make it very clear. I know I'm in a denominational camp meeting, but this has nothing to do with our denomination. It has nothing to do with the name of our churches. It has nothing to do with the way I was raised, but it has everything to do with the Word of God. And so today, I believe you can be any denomination that preaches this word, and we should be Pentecostal. Amen. I really do. I believe that. I believe you can be a Methodist and be Pentecostal. Amen. You can be Assembly of God and be Pentecostal. You can be Baptist and be Pentecostal. Congregational Holiness and be Pentecostal. We should be today, according to the word of the Lord. And so I want to show you just a little bit about Pentecost and lay a little bit of a foundation here. It's very, very encouraging. So when I look at the day of Pentecost, I find that it's one of the most phenomenal and one of the most important events in all of history. And there are several reasons why this event is so important. Let me share those with you. Number one, we know it was the coming of the Holy Spirit. We also know, number two, that it was the birth of the church in the New Testament, the birth of the church. We know that it was the corporate infilling of the Holy Ghost. Amen. How wonderful is that? Every one of them in that upper room were filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. But we also recognize that it was the personal infilling of the Holy Spirit in all of those believers, not just corporately, but each one of them. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but remember the tongues of fire. It said the tongue of fire, it divided and it set upon each of them. So they were filled fulfilled corporately, but also individually. But also we know that it was the presence and the power of God coming on believers and gifting believers, men and women, just like you and I, gifting them and equipping them to proclaim the glorious message of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so today, I think I can say it without any hesitation. I know I can. Lord, we need a fresh Pentecost in our lives. Amen. Lord, give us a fresh Pentecost in our lives. So when I think about the day of Pentecost, I go back and look in the Old Testament just for a short time, but this is amazing to me. And I look at the Feast of Pentecost. What was the Feast of Pentecost? When we think of the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, that was really not the beginning. We go all the way back into the Old Testament to the Feast of Pentecost. And what was that? Well, really, it was God's providence. And when we can understand the Feast of Pentecost, we begin to see God's provision at work here in Acts chapter 2. Pentecost was celebrated 50 days after the Passover. It's also known as the Day of First Fruits. You'll find that in Numbers 28, but also you'll see it's called the Feast of Weeks. And that's in Exodus 34, or maybe even the Feast of Harvest. And so what we see when we look at the Feast of Pentecost, it was a wonderful day of celebration, a glorious day of celebration when people were to come before the Lord and to just heap praises and heap thanksgiving unto the Lord. So it was a wonderful day of celebration. And so there were three reasons that they were to celebrate and to praise the Lord. Now let me share those with you. Again, this is in the Old Testament, but let's share this about the Feast of Pentecost. The three particular reasons that they were to thank God. Number one, it was because of the harvest of the field. Now this is important because you will find this is actually the beginning of harvest season when they would have the Feast of Pentecost. It was when the first fruits would come in and they would celebrate and give thanks to the Lord how that he had taken care of them and how that he was providing for them in their lives. And so it was the first fruits that came in. That's the first reason. The second reason is we see it in Deuteronomy 16 and verse 12. It was when the Lord delivered Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And so that was the second reason that they were to give thanks and praise to the Lord. So the first reason was the first fruits, the beginning of the harvest season. The second reason was that they were delivered out of Egyptian bondage. Now, out of slavery, if you would say that. Now, the third reason is because in Exodus 19 and 20, you can find this, is it was when the law was given on Mount Sinai. So it's very powerful. The law was given on Mount Sinai. This is the day that God's people, the people of Israel, were brought in as a nation. When that great nation of Israel come into place, they lived as God's very own people right here on this earth. And it was on this Feast of Pentecost there, it was on this time that they were to give God thanks and praise, and they were to declare to the Lord, I'll follow your rules, I'll follow your laws, you govern us. You govern our lives. You govern our nation. And it's also important to note right here that the Jews figured that the law had been given to Moses 50 days after the Exodus. So it's very powerful, isn't it? Very powerful. So you have to know this. As we declare I'm Pentecostal, I'm Pentecostal, I'm Pentecostal, why are we Pentecostal? Why are we? So let's look at, again, Old Testament, but now let's move into the New Testament. Look at what happens in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come. I love that right there. Amen. That's a sermon all in itself. When the day of Pentecost was fully come. Now we've had the Feast of Pentecost. We see those three reasons that we are to praise and heap thanksgiving unto the Lord. But now in Acts chapter 2, it's fully come. What does that mean for us in the New Testament? It's powerful. Well, first of all, we see, number one, remember it was the first fruits in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's also the first fruits when the church was born, and it was the first harvest of souls. Woo! You remember when Simon Peter stepped out of that upper room, amen, and he began to preach the gospel, and thousands came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? Hallelujah. Do you know what that's all about? It was the first fruits. Amen. It was the first harvest of souls. Praise the Lord. That's why we're Pentecostal. Number two. Woo! My goodness, I could preach all night about this. I feel it stirring in my heart. Amen. Number two. Now grab a hold of this. Now remember, in the Old Testament, number two was the deliverance of God's people from bondage, Egyptian bondage. Number two, the day of Pentecost was fully come. Now what does that mean? It's the coming of the Holy Spirit. He had a very specific purpose, and that was the fact that the Holy Ghost was to live and to work in the heart of mankind to deliver him, amen, and free him from the enslavements of the world, from sin and from death. And from hell, amen. And the Holy Spirit came to set men and women free from the captivity of the enemy, amen. Just like he did as he set the Israelites free from that Egyptian bondage. No longer are we slaves to sin, amen. No longer we're slaves to the world. No longer are we slaves to this cultural way of living. No more, no more, amen. But we are now free to live as true men and women of God. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise the Lord. So we go back to that, and it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Now we know what they're talking about, what the word's speaking of here, that it's fully come. We've got the harvest of souls now. We are free from the enslavement of sin. And then the third thing that I want you to see today, remember in the Old Testament, the third thing was the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. Now here we are in the New Testament. What does it mean? It means, and I want to give you some scripture for this because it's so powerful. It's people who truly came to God were now sealed and known by the presence of the Holy Spirit, by His very presence, amen, within their hearts and within their lives. Now they are sealed. What does that mean? Let me give you the scripture. You probably know them, but I'll share it with you because it's encouraging. In 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 21 and 22, it says, now He which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in your hearts. Hallelujah. And then I can give you another one. I've got several. But in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, it said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed. Woo, there it is. You are sealed unto the day of redemption. But also we see this time as the institution of a new law, amen, of the new principle of the Lord. No longer is man under the law, amen, but now man is to be guided. Women are to be guided by the Holy Spirit, amen, the Holy Spirit who empowers us, the Holy Spirit who leads us, the Holy Spirit who teaches us, the Holy Spirit who guides us. That is why today we are told in the word of the Lord that we are not to walk in the flesh, but we're to walk in the Spirit. And the way that we can walk in the Spirit, amen, is to be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. And that today is why we are Pentecostal. A lot of times people would say, well, I'm Pentecostal because I speak in tongues. And you know, hey, let's be honest. I fully believe in speaking in tongues. I fully believe in it. I fully believe without a shadow of a doubt. I don't have any doubt whatsoever. So don't get me wrong. Amen. I fully believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We're about to do a series at our church on the gifts of the Spirit. I'm excited about it. I can't wait to talk about the gift of interpretation and the gift of discerning of spirits. I cannot wait to do it. I believe in it. But I want you to know today, amen, I am not Pentecostal because I speak in tongues. Amen. I am not Pentecostal because I believe in in the gifts of the Spirit. I am Pentecostal, amen, because as I look in the word of the Lord, amen, and I look at Acts chapter 2, I realize that what the Lord did on that day, I received the Spirit of the Lord into my life to enable me, to equip me, to prepare me, to teach me, to guide me, to lead me in everything He wants me to do. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! He has a purpose for me. He has a purpose for me. He has a purpose for Kurt. He has a purpose for Pastor Randy, for Miss Gwen, for Nick and Chanel. He has a purpose for us. He has a purpose for you. But today, I must be filled with the Spirit of God to be able to accomplish the plan and the purpose that God has for me. Amen. Amen. Woo-hoo. Praise the Lord. It's exciting, isn't it? It's wonderful to understand and know. And listen, I want you to know this. I know a lot of people think sometimes that maybe Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost came and just blew the disciples' mind. The 120 had no idea what was going on, but that's not true. It is not true. They knew. Let me tell you why they knew. And the reason I feel like this is important is because I want you to understand that this is not an afterthought. And Jesus said, you know, I'm leaving. I better do something for these guys. They'll never make it. No, He was not an afterthought. And so the fact that the Holy Spirit was not an afterthought, the fact that the Lord Jesus led His disciples, His followers up to this point, stirs my heart because it lets me see and it lets me know the importance of every one of us, His now 2022 disciples, amen, also follow in those same footsteps that His disciples did in Acts chapter 2, or His followers, the 120. Now let me just share with you this, amen. Woo-hoo. It is exciting. It really is. I had a lot of scripture. I'm kind of skipping over it because I know I'm a little short on time. But y'all look comfortable, so I'm just going to keep on going. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't. You know what? I really want to say this. I hope you don't mind. I think it's important. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. It says in John 16 and verse 13. I'm backing up a little bit, but in John 16 and verse 13, it says, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." Amen. Amen. We need the Holy Spirit, don't we? Amen. And then in Romans 8 and 14, it says, "For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Hallelujah. And then I look at 1 Corinthians 2. And verse 14, it says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God." Now, I didn't say that. Don't get upset with me. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And so for us to know the things of God, to walk in the Spirit, to walk in the ways of the Lord, amen, we must walk in His Spirit. Amen. Thank the Lord. I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want to walk every day filled with the Spirit in my life. In John 14 and 26, it says this, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all," look at that, "He shall teach you all things and shall bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." So in this time, let's just be honest, in this time when nobody knows what's going on, don't make me call out names because I can. Amen. Nobody knows what's going on all the way from the tip top down to the state level, to the local level. I'm talking about in politics. Nobody knows what's going on. Amen. I can tell you in the medical field, nobody knows what's going on. Everybody's got a lot of good ideas, but it's so different. Everywhere you look, somebody's got a different idea. But what does it say right here? It says that the Holy Ghost shall teach you all things, amen, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. If there's ever been a time that we need to encourage people to walk in the way of the Word in Acts chapter 2, it is now, amen. Because if I've ever thought I was going to pastor and I'd just do good enough by myself what I've learned, I would make a horrible mess out of things. But today, because I can't depend on this one or that one or that one or that one or that one to know the right way, but I can depend on the Holy Ghost, amen, to teach me all things, to show me all things, amen, to lead me in the path I need to go. Praise the Lord. I want to encourage you, every one of you leaders, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, I'm thankful today for some smart people in my life. I just noticed, I didn't say me, but I have some smart people in my life. I have some well-educated people in my life. I have some people that have their doctorate and all kinds of things in the church. I mean, I can just go on and list so many things, and they've helped me. Man, they've helped me. I've had so many men of God and women of God speak into my life as they have led churches. And man, I'm so grateful, Pastor Kurt and I. We are so grateful for what the Lord has done and the people that he's put me in contact with. I'm telling you, I couldn't be more grateful. It's the truth. But here's the bottom line. When it comes right down to where the rubber meets the road, I'm going to have to hear from the Lord. Amen. I need to know, what is the Holy Spirit saying to me? I can get that groundwork done, but I'm going to tell you, when I need God, when I say, Lord, I don't have another answer. I don't have another way. I don't have to worry. I don't have to chew my fingernails down to the quick. I don't have to wring my hands and walk around in great depression because I don't know what I'm going to do. What I can do, amen, is lean back on the everlasting arms of the Lord, amen, because he has sent his comforter, he has sent the Spirit of the Lord, his Spirit, to lead me and guide me, amen, and to teach me and to show me, amen. But the key is this: will I listen? Will I do it? Will I say yes? Amen. When it's different than what I'm used to, will I still say yes? Amen. Do you know the last words of a dying church? We've never seen it done this way before. Amen. And that's why I'm going to take my glasses off. I can't see you quite as good. Amen. But that is why I want to be led by the Spirit. I want to be directed by the Spirit. But not only do I want to be led and directed, I want to hear him so clearly that I would not have a hesitation, that I would say, yes, Lord, I'll go to the left. Yes, Lord, I'll go to the right. Yes, Lord, I'll take three steps back. Yes, Lord, I'll hop three steps to the front. Amen. I trust you, Lord. I believe you, Lord. I don't understand it. I don't get it, but I know that you've been sent to guide me into all truth. Amen. Woo! Praise the Lord. We need him. I need him. So let me go back now. I kind of got off the, well, I stayed on the subject, but I kind of veered a little bit. But let me go back to what Jesus did. Now, this is powerful. The disciples had been deliberately prepared for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Again, this was no fluke. It was no last minute decision. Not at all. Throughout the Bible, the revelation of the Holy Spirit, you will see it's been step by step. It's progressive. And I'd like to just share some of it with you. Now just follow with me for a minute. If you want to write any of these scriptures down, you can. But there's so many, I don't even know if I can share them all with you, but it is amazing. You'll find in Joel, you know this one, Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, prophecy shows us about the coming of the Holy Spirit. Joel prophesied, "It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." Amen. And then we see John the Baptist said in Matthew 3 or Luke 3, either one of those, he said, "I baptize with water, but he shall baptize with or in the Holy Spirit." Hallelujah. We see that in Matthew. We see that John the Baptist spoke this. And then early in Jesus' ministry, in John, if you look again, John chapter 3 and 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1, this is what he said. He said that believers were to be born again. How? By the Spirit. Amen. Born again by the Spirit. So keep in mind, he's directing them. He's leading them in this path. In Luke 11 and verse 13, during Jesus's ministry, he taught that men were to receive the Holy Ghost through prayer. Amen. He taught this. And then you find, now this is going to be in John 14 and John 16, these things I'm about to tell you. If you want to read more on the Holy Ghost, read that. It is powerful. But in the upper room, Jesus identified the Holy Ghost as a person, John 14. Amen. And then he outlined the work of the Holy Spirit with both the believers and the unbelievers in John 16. And then very significantly here, it's powerful, he revealed that he was praying to the Father for the Comforter to come and abide with his disciples. That's in John 14. Now this is all before Acts chapter 2. So don't think for a minute he was not intentional. I'm telling you, I believe that it is time for the church to get intentional. Jesus was intentional about everything that he did. Notice, if you would, in John chapter 20, after Jesus' resurrection from the dead, he appeared to his disciples in the upper room. And you remember what he did? Symbolically, he breathed on them. And remember, he said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." Hallelujah. But he said it like this. He said, "Look, you cannot begin your ministry until you experience the Spirit actually coming upon you with power." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo, that's powerful, isn't it? He said, now it's kind of like this. I don't know. You may not appreciate this, but this is the easiest way I can understand it. So when I look in the New Testament, when Jesus was on this earth and he told his disciples, he said, "Go out and preach the gospel and heal the sick." And we see them doing the work that Jesus did. It was like they did it on loan. It was like the Holy Spirit was on loan to them from Jesus. Jesus was there. Amen. But when Jesus was about to leave and go to the Father, when he was about to leave and go to heaven, he said, "Now look, don't be trying any of this at home." Amen. Kind of like one of those things. He said, "Don't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. I'm leaving. The Spirit is leaving. I'm leaving, but I'm going to send my Spirit back to you. And only after you are filled with the Spirit of the Lord, the power of God, can you go out and do the work that I did." Amen. And it reminds me, I've said this so many times, I'm sure even though I've only preached here once, I might have used this scripture the last time I was here because it's one of my favorites. And the word says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you that believe," Jesus said it, "you that believe on me, the works that I do, you shall do also. And even greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father." Amen. What does that mean? It means that he's going to the Father, but he is sending his Spirit. Amen. And whether you're in Dunn, North Carolina, or whether you're in Griffin, Georgia, or whether you're in Jefferson, Georgia, amen, that we are filled with the same Spirit that raised Jesus up from the dead. Hallelujah. And when I go out to do the work that Jesus did, it's not just these little feeble hands, amen, but it is my hand that reaches out, but it's the power of God on the inside of me that reaches out through this hand, that we see the sick healed, that we see the lame healed, that we see those that are lost in darkness made whole and come to life again. Amen. Woo! Oh my goodness, it's exciting, isn't it? I say it a lot, but I think it's very applicable right here. Tell your neighbor, say, "You need the Holy Ghost." Amen. Just in case. I know we're Pentecostal, but just in case. I am alarmed. I'm alarmed and I'm shocked and I'm concerned at how many leaders we have that have never been filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't want to go into all the details of that, but I talked to a wonderful leader and a wonderful sister denomination of us. And he preached a message on being filled with the Spirit to pastors and leaders. And he said, "Beth, there was such a large number that had never been filled with the Holy Spirit, but they're pastoring churches, they're leading small groups, they're doing all of these things, but they're not operating in the power of the Spirit." And so if we're not doing that, what are we doing? We're leaning on the arm of the flesh. We're leaning on how much we know. But how many of you know the Bible says that His ways are higher than our ways? His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so today, I don't want to lean to this understanding. The Lord teaches me, trust in the Lord with all my heart. Lean not to my own understanding. In all my ways, acknowledge Him. He will direct my path. Amen. And I acknowledge Him, recognizing that when Jesus left, He said, don't do anything else until you're filled with the Spirit. And that will, He will empower you to do the works that I did, and even greater works than these shall you do. Amen. So listen, I promise, Pastor Randy and I have not sat down and went over a list. I don't know who is and who is not. And so if any conviction's going on, just know it's the Lord. Amen. Amen. But I'm just being really sincere about it. Not hard or mean or condemning. And it doesn't mean because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit that I'm better than you. It has nothing to do with that. Matter of fact, it doesn't mean I'm up here, you're down here. Not at all. Nothing. Not anything whatsoever. It just means that I've been filled with the Spirit, and you need to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Because we want to walk in the most and the greatest that God has for us. The question is not, do I have to be filled with the Holy Spirit to go to heaven? We know you don't have to be filled with the Holy Spirit to go to heaven. But I've said this. Another pastor friend of mine said it, but I might as well have, because I believe it. And somebody said, do you have to have the Holy Ghost to go to heaven? Well, you need the Holy Ghost to go to Walmart. What are you talking about? Isn't that the truth? You've probably heard that before, but isn't it the truth? Amen. So the question is not, do I have to have the Holy Ghost to go to heaven? The question is, why do you not want the Holy Spirit in your life every day of your life? As a mama, let's just admit it. As a mama, you need the Holy Ghost. Amen. As a daddy, you need to be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. As a grandmother, grandfather, you need the Holy Spirit in your life. As our teenagers, we need the Holy Ghost, amen, to lead and guide us. I want you to know today, in college, you need the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. As a single man or woman, you need the Holy Spirit. I'm married now. Praise the Lord. Sorry about that. I do that all the time. But it's the truth. I need Him in my life. Why would you not want Him? I really think that's the question. Why would you not want Him? We need Him. We want Him. But let me keep going now. Just for another moment, it'll just take a second. I believe this is so important. Right before Jesus ascended into heaven in Acts chapter 1 and verse 5, He said, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And then we find in Acts chapter 2 that we read verses 1 through 4 as our text. Then 10 days after Jesus' ascension and after much prayer, amen, I want to make that clear today. That's another sermon, but so powerful. After much prayer, the Holy Ghost came. He came upon them and He filled the whole body of believers in that upper room at Pentecost. And can I tell you today, this ought to encourage all of us. In Acts chapter 2, that's where we see the Jews were filled with the Holy Ghost. But something else amazing happened. And I think it's Acts chapter 10. And that's where the Gentiles were filled. Amen. And you say, why is that so big deal? Because most of you are Gentiles. Me too. Praise the Lord. So I find that the infilling of the Holy Spirit is not just for the Jews, God's chosen people. But I realize now that I have been grafted in. Hallelujah. I've been grafted in through the blood of Jesus. And now I'm part of God's chosen people. You are. And the Holy Ghost is for you. Amen. For the Jews, for the Gentiles, all of us who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah today. Woo. I even find it. I won't go into this very far, but I even find this is happening. You see that it was at Cornelius's house that the Holy Ghost fell or was poured out, received by the Gentiles. And Peter said to the Jews that had went with him, they said, hey, these all received the Holy Spirit as well as we. Amen. In other words, he said, just like we did, the Gentiles have to. Praise the Lord. You even find that Simon Peter Peter used that experience of what happened to them and the Gentiles to support Paul before the great Jerusalem Council. Amen. And so he said, God gave them the Holy Spirit even as he did unto us, Acts 15 and verse 8. So how powerful is that today? And you may say, Beth, why do we need the Holy Spirit? I want to do something today. I really hadn't planned this, and I'm not truly prepared for it completely. But I want to talk to you about the revival that happened on the day of Pentecost. Now, we're living in a time, I don't want to switch this whole sermon here, but we're living in a time that America is in a desperate place for revival. We are. We're in a desperate need for revival. And you may say, can it still happen? And the answer is absolutely. Can revival still come to America? Can revival still come to this world? I want to give you a scripture here, and it's back over in Psalms 85 and verse 4 through 6. And it says, restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Here it is. Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Amen. I want to say that again. Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? And let me tell you about the revival that took place in Jerusalem at the day of Pentecost. If there was an unlikely place for revival, it was in Jerusalem. I think a lot of times we think, oh, the day of Pentecost, somebody must have been singing worship songs. Somebody must have been preparing the place for revival. Absolutely not. I want to tell you, there was not a place that was more unlikely for a revival. And can I tell you, if revival came in Jerusalem, revival can come to Dunn. Amen. If revival came to Jerusalem, revival can come to Atlanta, Georgia. You say, why was it unlikely that Jerusalem could have a revival? This will encourage you. It's because, number one, Jerusalem was hardened to the gospel. They'd been there, done it. Had the t-shirt, sick of it. That's who they were. They'd heard the preaching of the prophets in Jerusalem. They were there. They had had the ministry of Jesus Christ and they rejected it. That's Jerusalem. The church was discouraged. Keep in mind what's happening. The church was in a discouraged place. They were meeting behind closed doors for fear. There was scandal in the church. Keep in mind what happened. Judas, one of the chief disciples, had betrayed the Lord. There was scandal in the church. Doesn't it sound like where we are right now? Amen. But then look, Peter, one of the other disciples, one of the main apostles of the Lord, had denied the Lord. This is what was happening. And besides that, you will look and find that there was never a city where they hated Jesus Christ more. For this is where they nailed him to the cross. And yet, on the day of Pentecost, guess what happened? Revival came. Amen. I want to say that again. On the day of Pentecost, revival came. All the odds were against it. Everything was against it. How could it happen now? How could it happen here? Amen. I want to say it again. If God can send revival to Jerusalem, God can send us revival today, and he can send us revival in 2022. Amen. But we need that fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost. We need the fresh oil of his Spirit today. Amen. Hallelujah. What does God want to do here? What does he want to do now? He wants to fill his church fresh and new with his Spirit and bring a revival, to bring restoration, to bring new life, to bring new vision, to bring fresh vigor. Amen. The church is not dead. The church is not disintegrating, but the church is alive. Amen. Amen. And the Lord is calling us today, every one of us, to be filled with his Spirit. Let's stand if you would. Amen. Woo. I could preach all night about this. I think you can tell. People say, well, Beth, what about that Maybe if you can, somebody can come to one of the instruments or all of them, it doesn't matter to me. You say, well, Beth, what about that noise that it sounded like? A rushing mighty wind. Well, I want you to know today, yes, it didn't say there was a wind, but it said there was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. You say, what's that all about? I want to tell you what it's about. It's about the fact that God ain't nervous. That's the truth. God ain't nervous. God's not afraid of crowds. God's not afraid of attracting attention. Not at all. Because what happened when the noise came, the people started gathering around and said, it sounds like a tornado. It sounds like a hurricane. It sounds like, I don't feel any wind right now, but I'm hearing a sound. What is that? Amen. What's going on? Simon Peter steps out of that upper room. He begins to preach the gospel to those men and women. As I said a moment ago, thousands came to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. I believe there was such a great sound because those disciples were about to go out into a world full of persecution. Those disciples, remember, every one of them but one was martyred. Every one of them. But they were about to go out into a world that hated them, that despised them, that killed their Lord. They couldn't go out with their own intellect. They couldn't go out with just their own good way of thinking. They couldn't go out with enticing words of men's wisdom. But they had to walk out with the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And when that sound came and the Holy Ghost began to fill them, they didn't have a doubt, not one doubt in the world, that when they stepped out of that upper room, the Spirit of the Lord was with them. And they went forth and preached the gospel. And they turned this world upside down. Amen. What does God want to do in us today? The same people will look around, they say, oh, we can't have revival here. We won't be able to have revival now. Oh, yes, we can. I don't know what it may look like. I don't believe it's going to be 3 nights and a special guest speaker coming in, although I love that and I'm a part of that and I want that and call me. Amen. You know what I mean. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to be more than that. It's going to be more than that. And I want to be right in the middle of it. I'm telling you the truth. I don't even have to be the preacher. I can be a doorkeeper. Amen. I don't even have to have a microphone. I can catch them in the altar. Amen. I don't even have to stand in front of you and speak the word. If you'll just let me be a part and vacuum the floor, I just want to be in the middle of what God's doing. It's the truth. I just want to be in the middle of it. Woo! Woo! I mean it today. That's what God is wanting to do in us. That's what God is wanting to do in us. I'm going to ask you today, I know it's camp meeting, but I want to ask this question. Would you bow your heads for a moment? We're going to open this altar up. And I want you to come from the back, from the sides. If you're a guest or if you're a part of this denomination, it doesn't matter. We're going to get in this altar in just a moment, and I want us to pray, and I want us to ask the Lord to fill us fresh with the Holy Spirit.